Devam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Prithana Saitam Krishna Chaitanyam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Bhagavata Lalita Shri Satam Vijanscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindha Dina Bandha Gatate Gopesha Gopita Santa Radha Santa Mosute Kapadanshya Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishnavana Sita Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vanchakava Dhruvyasya Kripa Sunu Vyevaka Padidanam Bhavane Yo Vaishnave Yo Momaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shadvaita Gadhar Shivasiti Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Shudana Shivasitum
Kata Kata Kata
propaganda that the Lord is impersonal, that he has no activity, that he is a dumb stone without any name and form, has encouraged people to become godless, faithless demons, and the more they deviate from the transcendental activities of the Lord, the more they become accustomed to mundane activities that only clear their path to hell instead of returning back home, back to God. Just a little note here. Even 50 years ago, the social structure of all Indians was so arranged that they would not read any literature that was not connected with the activities of the Lord. They would not play any drama not connected with the Lord. They would not organize a fair or a ceremony not connected with the Lord. Nor would they visit a place that was not holy and sanctified by the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, even the most common man in the village would talk about Ramayana and Mahabharata, Gita and Bhagavatam, even from his very childhood. But by the influence of the age of Kali, they have been dragged to the civilization of dogs and hogs, laboring up for bread without any sense of transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam begins from the history of the Pandavas, the necessary politics and social activities, and yet Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be the Paramahamsa Sikh Samhita. While the Vedic literature meant for this topmost transcendentalist, and it describes Param, Dhyanam, the highest transcendental knowledge. Pure devotees of the Lord are all Paramahamsas, and they are like the swans who know the art of sucking milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Tats etats chu chu shitam litvam sudhar hasti vi vashitum katahari kato dharka sitam siu sadasi dhruvam. O Lord, to the Goswami, please continue to explain such topics to us, because we are all eager to hear. Besides that, topics which result in the discussion of Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Mama Vishnu, the Grand Krishna, first time today, Shri Bhakti Swami, Namaste, Sarasapade, Kaurav, Anandu, Sharma, Nirvi, Shay, Shah, and Nivari, Paskat, Yad, Isitara. This verse, two things are mentioned. One is that the topics of Krishna are transcendental. And the other is that in order to understand that they're transcendental, one should hear the topics in the association of devotees. So this is explained again and again. Beginning with the second verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Priyogita Kaitavotra Paramom Nimasara Satam. So satam means those who are interested in the truth, or satta means eternal, just like sat. So those who are actually interested in the eternality of things, to live on the spiritual platform, they hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because dharma, priyogita, kaitavotra, paramamimatsaranam satam. Generally, most discussions are based upon improving our material circumstances. The whole world is hoping somehow or another to improve their material circumstances and to avoid the problems of material existence. Kaladamar says, Nithirana Krishna, Padatak Sitova, Nito Vipadyeda Vihadvatana. Unfortunately, these are all based upon illusion, the illusion of misidentifying ourselves with this temporary material body, and therefore thinking that some material improvement will improve us, or that some material problem will be a problem for us. So based upon this misunderstanding, we're glorifying material advancement and we're criticizing material problems or material degradation. But actually the material world has nothing to do with us. Whether it's a better material position or a worse material position, either one of them has nothing to do with the self, the soul, any more than a good dream or a bad dream improves our present waking condition. If you make $1 million in your sleep that night by investing them in stock, then you don't gain anything when you wake up. And if you lost all your money in your sleep, there's no loss to you when you wake up either. Similarly, any gain in this material world or any loss in the material world has the same result, nothing. Ultimately, it is all Shrava Eva Hikaru. But because those who are in the material world are attracted to hearing about mundane topics, therefore Krishna comes and he displays so many different pastimes. So by hearing about these different activities of Lord Krishna, whether he's on the battle of Kurukshetra, or making peace with Duryodhana, or dancing with the gopis, that because Krishna is included within the activity, therefore the hearing about such activities becomes purifying. Because Krishna himself is Pavitram Param Uttama. He's the supreme purifier. That if Krishna is there, then everything is purified. Just like wherever the sun is, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andhakar, Yahum Krishna Kaham Maya Hai Andhakar. Now wherever the sun is, then naturally there is no darkness. And wherever the sun isn't, naturally there is no light. So similarly, Maya exists only because of our Krishna is not there, because Krishna is everywhere. But when we don't want Krishna to be there, then for us, at least, it seems like he's not there. That's called Maya, but that which is not. Therefore, for those who are interested in hearing about Krishna, Krishna comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita to explain about himself. And those who are interested in making some spiritual advancement, they become interested in hearing Bhagavad Gita. And after understanding preliminary knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, then become interested in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other such literatures which deal more with Krishna's pastimes. So first, one should hear about Krishna, and then one should hear about Krishna's activities. First of all, one has become convinced that there is a Krishna, and then one should hear about what Krishna's activities are. Srila Vishwanatha Bhagavati Thakur has recommended that one should become more interested in first to hear about Krishna's pastimes within the cosmic creation, his pastimes of creating and maintaining and annihilating this material world. Because if one becomes such interested in such topics, then of course one will see Krishna within the practical everyday activities. It's foolish to want to hear about Krishna's pastimes and his internal energy if we cannot even accept that Krishna put the sun in the sky. If we look up in the sky, we think, oh, that's the sun, it's by accident or just a bunch of gas floating around. And we don't remember Krishna, if we can't even see something as obvious as the fact that the Supreme Lord has created the sun and has put it there for our benefit, something as direct as that, then how can we understand something more subtle, such as Krishna's pastimes and the internal energy? If we can't even understand what's right in front of our face, then how can we understand something that's far away? So, in the beginning, one is instructed to try to come to the platform of consciousness of Krishna, understanding how things relate to Krishna. And the result of such understanding is that one's mentality and activities should change. It's more important to change our activities and our mentality than exactly what we're hearing about. In other words, if you want to hear, for instance, if you want to watch a television program, first of all, get a television. Not that you're wanting to, first of all, get a good television. If your television isn't working properly, it doesn't matter what channel you turn on, it's not going to work. So this idea that let us hear very advanced topics of Krishna and then we'll become very attractive. But if the machine isn't working, in other words, everyone within their heart, they have a television, a transcendental television, but presently that television is broken. So, the process of devotional service is the process by which to repair that television so one can turn on the channel Krishna. And the preliminary instructions of devotional service on the bhakti are meant to repair that television, to take away the dust, and all the different things that are on the television screen, so that when one turns on the television, one will be able to see Krishna within the television. So the instructions are how to turn on the television, how to remove the dust and the dirt from the television screen, how to repair the television. This is all part of Sadhana Bhakti. And when the television is turned on, then if Krishna is there, then one will not mind, in any case, exactly in what pastime Krishna is participating. Just like if you love someone, then you don't really care so much. You see him as a little baby, you know, crawling, little kid without any hair, you know, drooling all over the place. But because you have some affection for the person, you don't really think, oh, that's sweet. If you don't have any affection for the person, he's crawling over, you know, drooling, and he says, get this kid out of here. He's drooling all over the place. It's disgusting. Similarly, if he's fighting on a battlefield, and if you have affection for the person, then you appreciate that this person's heroic. If you're fighting on the other side, you may have to appreciate the person very much. Therefore, those who are materialists, they're not very much interested in hearing about Krishna. As a matter of fact, whatever the devotees say about Krishna, they're ready to contradict. As Krishna says, Asatyam aparadishtante jagado varanishram aparashram sambhutam kemanyatam ahaitutam. They say that this world is unreal, it has no foundation, it has no God in control, it produces sex desire, it has no other clothes and lust. So the demons say like that, and Arjuna, he heard about the qualities of the demon, and he became a little concerned. Because it is not that in the beginning all the different qualities of the demoniac persons are removed. As soon as one realizes Krishna in full, then of course all misgivings, all disqualifications are removed. But it is not so easy to come immediately to the highest platform. And in the meantime, that there will be doubts to different degrees. As one advances from Shraddha to Sada Sangha, to Bhajana Kriya, to Nartana Vritti, to Ruchi, to Sakti, to Bhava, and to Prema, then gradually the doubts are removed. But certainly one who's on the platform of Bhajana Kriya, and Bhajana Kriya or Nartana Vritti, and after Nartana Vritti, then one is firmly fixed in understanding that one is not the body. So, as long as we're on the bodily concept of life, the bodily platform, and that every one of us can judge what is our factual advancement, then this idea of our first priority is to hear about Krishna from the right source and to try to develop the proper attitude. If I think that hearing about Krishna, I've heard this again and again, and why don't they say something new? That's a good sign when we haven't heard it even the first time. If I heard it even once and realized that I wasn't this body, then all my problems would go away. There'd be no more problem. If I heard and accepted that I'm not this body, then what problem would I have? Because then I'd realize I was eternal. People want to live for a long time. They're exercising, following a certain diet, taking some pills. But we're going to live forever, so that's a long time. If I realize I'm eternal, then what would the lifetime of Brahma be appealing? A mere 311 trillion, 40 billion years is nothing. But because we haven't even heard the preliminary knowledge, and of course hearing the preliminary knowledge is not simply sitting there trying to hear it, but by practicing, acting according to that knowledge, then gradually the heart will become purified so we can actually realize it. Hearing really means realizing. If I haven't realized something, it means I haven't heard it. Therefore the word here is touch chadadana or a touch tu shu shatam vidvan. Or previously he says touch chadadana munayo yana vairaga yuktaya prashandatmini chatmana Bhakti Shruti Brihitaya. That, or as touch,
Shushusha Shadadanasya Vasudeva Taruchi Siyamahastayadadipra Punya Kirtani Shevana. In other words, devotional service is based upon hearing. But hearing, as I said before, as Bhagavatam repeatedly explains to us, hearing is not simply sitting there like a dull stone and trying to, somehow or another stay awake. And figure maybe they tell a joke, or someone tells a joke during class, and they laugh, and they wake up again. Hey, what was that joke? What was that all about? What did he say? Finally he said something that made some sense. Suddenly got someone jumped off a cliff and landed on his head. What was that? So, actual hearing means to hear something that gives me inspiration to deepen my absorption in devotional service and Krishna consciousness. And then understanding something that will help me deepen my absorption in Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service, then I become inspired to actually try it out within my life. And then to see whether my consciousness is actually more consistently absorbed in thinking about Krishna and my activities are more devoted to Krishna service. So, of course, hearing principally deals with two things. Hearing about the glories of devotional service, and hearing about the horrors of sense gratification, the undesirability of engaging in sense gratification. Because the living entity, he's attracted to sense gratification, and he's not very much attracted to devotional service. So, to break that attachment to sense gratification, the problems of sense gratification have to be explained. And to inspire one to devotional service, the glories of sense gratification has to be explained. So this is called Shushusha Sharadhanasya. Here, the idea of doing something practical. Practical means, for instance, to sit down during prasada and to actually think of Krishna, that Krishna gave his prasada. This is not ordinary food. So that actually takes some concentration. As soon as one sits down to prasada, you think, oh, whatever, now I got a break. I can enjoy all this discipline, all this, trying to fix my mind upon Krishna. Now it's mine. Enjoy. Get into it. So that's what the mind will say. And if one takes up doing anything, eating prasada or chanting Hare Krishna or anything, without the mood of devotion and service, then it becomes very much mundane. Although I think, well, I'm safe because it's prasad. It's authorized. I hear I can enjoy it. So one has to focus the mind and see, always see where the mind is going. Is it going to Krishna? Is it going to Maya? What mode of nature I'm falling into? Now I'm goodness. I'm not satisfied with goodness. Let's try passion. Turn on the ignorance. No, what you're trying to see, where my mind is wandering to, what mode, and how to withdraw it back and put it in Krishna's service again. So these are the practical activities of devotional service. It's not something mysterious that the speaker has to tell us something really far out. Krishna, he was meditating in the ocean of yogurt. And then Krishna left the gopis, and because the sage, he was swallowed by a fish while he was meditating in the ocean of yogurt for 2 millennia. Some demoniac fish came and swallowed him. So Krishna left the rasa dance and saved the muni. And then after saving the muni, he went to the island on the ocean of milk. There he rested on Keshanada, because he was tired, and Lakshmi Devi was massaging his feet, but because the gopis were so much anxiety, then he left, he woke up, and he went to join the gopis again. And people were like, wow, that was far out. Of course, Krishna's pastimes are quite unusual. They're considered to be heroic pastimes. So, one wants to hear about these heroic activities of Krishna. But still, the basic principle is actually what we have to learn. The basic principle of Shanaya, what is that? Sanaya Shanaya Uparamed, Bhubya Drita Drihigaya, Atma Samstam Natha. Shanaya Shanaya Uparamed, Bhubya Drita Drihigaya, Atma Samstam Natha. Atma samstamanai in shit, atma neva shamaya. Roughly, right? Shanai shanara uparame, bhujya driti grihitaya. Atma samstamanai shitva, na tin shit apichintaya.
So, gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one can become situated in trance by means of intelligence, to stay with full conviction, and this mind can be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else.
So, what is this full conviction that we have, this determination?
It means we have to watch the mind. So the mind starts wandering as on Krishna's, thinking about Krishna, we feel some transcendental pleasure. Immediately we think, wow, I'm so advanced. Now I'm becoming more powerful. Now I can really control it. Immediately the mind has slipped away from hearing about Krishna. Now it's in the mode of passion. I'm becoming powerful. And then it's saying, now I can enjoy it. Now it's slipping further into passion. So we become bewildered by the mind now. Now we're slipping, and then we're thinking, oh, so many obstacles in my way, I'll destroy them all. He's my enemy, now I've become powerful, I've been killed. Now we're in ignorance. And we think, oh, what's happened? You've been deluded by the illusory energy.
Escape, alright,
back to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Oh, there's Krishna again, there's Radha. Oh, how sweet. Now I feel real good again. Now I can relax.
Yeah, go to sleep.
Alright. Well, what happened? You fell a victim of the mode of ignorance.
So one has to learn how the mind is working, how it's deluding us, what the different subtleties in the mind are. It's not like, so as soon as one, the mind goes, go to sleep, beep beep, he's trying to delude you, watch out,
it's alarm. The lights are going on.
I'm not going to sleep. No, you've got to go to sleep. It's not, you're tired. I don't feel tired.
You work hard. You deserve it. Deserve what? You go to sleep.
I'm not going to sleep.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hey, what happened to mine? Where is it?
Hey, I'm still here. Don't worry.
So one has to become determined to fix the mind upon Krishna. Not that, I'm thinking about Krishna, this is too long, a little change, back to me. Why should I think of this Krishna so much? What about me? So with full conviction one has to become situated in this trance by means of intelligence. In other words, one has to understand that the desirability of hearing about Krishna, the desirability of acting in such a way as to remember Krishna, coming to the platform, full Krishna consciousness. One has to become convinced, and that's called intelligence. To be willing to undergo the austerity. Because why do we forget about Krishna? Because we act either grossly or subtly in such a way as to want to enjoy in the material world, or with anxiety that we're going to suffer in. So because of acting on the bodily concept of life, we deviate. So one has to engage in tapasya, one has to hear about Krishna, and then engage in the tapasya to purify oneself so that one can enter more deeply into the hearing about Krishna, one can realize what one is hearing, and therefore become fixed on the platform of constantly hearing and remembering about Krishna. Otherwise, any other activity outside of that, of hearing about Krishna, performing tapasya, to come to the platform of higher Krishna consciousness, to come to the platform of vairagya, detachment from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna, and attachment to Krishna, such a thing is considered to be part of the material world. So one has to become convinced about that. because we're attached to different aspects of material existence. Therefore, we have to constantly check the mind and not be surprised. Oh, what happened? What happened? You know, my mind is now thinking of this horrible thing. It's not possible. I'm such a nice person. There must be something wrong with the material world. There must be something wrong, you know, it's not fair. I should be thinking about this thing, whatever it is. And then we'll spend all the time thinking about that thing that we should be thinking about. So it shouldn't be surprising to us that any crazy thing can appear in our mind, any topic can appear by the mind. But one should not become attached to these things. One should not become bewildered by these things. One should not become interested in these things. One should remain fixed in determination that only if I engage in Krishna service will there be anything auspicious for me or anyone else. Anything else outside of Krishna service will simply be the cause of fall down. In order to become convinced of these things, in the society of devotees, we talk about these things, about one's practical realization. How hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, actually brings me to the platform of beyond the material concept of life, either gross or subtle. So one has to hear realization about that. Otherwise, if we simply repeat like a parrot, then we won't really develop any faith. And if we don't have any real faith, then only for some time we'll go through this austerity of devotional service, rising early in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, following the regular principles. Only for some time we'll do it if we're actually not inspired to do something practical to actually come to a higher platform of realization of Krishna consciousness. In other words, unless we can actually taste what loving service means, if it only remains a theory, then we'll automatically become attracted to taste sense gratification again. This living entity cannot remain without some kind of pleasure, either material or spiritual, so unless one actually comes to the spiritual platform, then one's taste for material enjoyment will drive one for actual material satisfaction. Maybe for some years one may remain on the mental platform, enjoying mentally, but after some time, one will seek also gross material enjoyment again also. So here it says that Krishna comes, he displays so many activities on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, dancing with the gopis from Vrindavan, or killing demons, just to attract our mind to hear about these activities. Otherwise, Krishna only spoke on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, people would think that, you know, I'm not really interested in battles. You know, it would be very incomplete. So Krishna gives us complete philosophy, complete activities, loving affairs, romantic affairs, fighting affairs, gambling. He does so many things just to attract us to hear about it. And if we can come to the quality of actually becoming free from our material concept of life and realizing that these are all spiritual affairs, that they're all transcendently tasteful, then we'll be able to take full advantage of them and remain just like the lotus leaf is untouched by the water. Although the lotus leaf is in the water, still, whatever comes in contact with it immediately glides off. So although living in the material world, by material association, we may come in contact with so many things outside of Krishna consciousness, but for one who's actually fixed in Krishna consciousness, it is said, Brahmanyada Yakarmani Sangam Tattva Karopiya that one who is not attached to material activities, Brahman Yare Karmani, Sangam Kyakta Kurodhya. One is not unattached to the results of his work, is not affected by them, just like the lotus leaf, although it's within the water, the muddy water, is not affected by it, is not touched by it. So one who is acting on the transcendental platform, one who is seeking after the transcendental platform, although he may be in material association, doesn't become affected by it. So that we have to see what platform I'm on. Not just during class, make a little check. Yeah. Right now I'm on the spiritual platform. And then when we leave, now it's me and my mind. My mind will take me around, a ride through heaven and hell one day. And tomorrow I come back to class or chanting my japa, a little brief, you know, here's Krishna again, he's smiling with his flute.
and then we leave the room and back again, arrive in heaven and hell, and back. So one has to constantly check the mind, see where it's going, and then bring it back to Krishna consciousness. And to help us do that, then there's the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and especially understand the value of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. There's so much philosophy to tell us why it's not desirable to let the mind go wherever it's going, through our past, present, and future, and why it's desirable to fix it on Krishna, and how to do it. This is more or less our philosophy that's explained here. But the Paramahamsas, although they're in the material world, they see it all as part of Krishna. They understand how things can be utilized for Krishna. And those who are materialists don't see anything related to Krishna. They only think about how it can be utilized in relationship to their material ideas. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
This stage of Paramahamsa, well, overseeing of Krishna, seems, for me, seems very far away. And sometimes seems, well, I'm so fallen that how is that possible?
It's not. It's not possible. If you think, well, it's only the goal, let's know. It's a gradual process. Krishna says, Shinaya Shinara Paravan Bhutya Drita Grihitaya. So it takes determination. And what is that determination? Ito yito nishchalati manakshan shulamaskira tatastata nyonyanita atmyeva vishamnaya. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction, once you become situated in trance by means of intelligence, oh, that's it. Wherever the mind wanders to, due to its flickering and steady nature, one must withdraw it and bring it back into the control of the self. So it's not expected that one goes from, you know, Godas to Paramahamsa in one day. But it is expected that whatever our position, we practice, bringing the focusing the mind on Krishna in a positive, enthusiastic spirit. So it takes practice, just like we're reading today in the morning, that it begins with Shravana Dasa. So Shravana Dasa, Shravana Dasa. We hear about Krishna regularly. And then it comes to Varna Dasa, acceptance. So by hearing, then we understand a little bit and we apply it within our lives. That's called the state of acceptance. And then, by applying our lives, we come to the platform of smarana, remembering Krishna. And then after that, we come to the platform, there are five stages of progressive Krishna smarana, beginning with meditation, absorption, and remembrance, and constant remembrance on the smriti, and finally samadhi, and come to the platform of sampati das, perfection of life. So it's not expected that all of a sudden we'll come to the platform of perfection of life, but it is expected that we become aware that I should see where my mind is wandering to, and then practice bringing it back into Krishna consciousness. And by such practice, we do it regularly, and gradually we'll come to the perfection of life. But if I think the goal is so far away, then why even try for it? No, the longest journey begins with the first step. Unless you take the first step, the second step, then gradually you get there. If you think it's so far away, why even bother trying for it? So gradually, wherever the mind wanders to, we bring it back, and then gradually we become more expert at thinking about Krishna, and then we become to the perfectional state, gradually, step by step. So to help us fix the mind on Krishna, we hear regularly, we attend the program, we chant our japa, trying to chant all the energies of God, all the Supreme God, and engage in your loving service. Just trying to chant in that mood, in that way. And we go through the program like that, and gradually we come to the platform of acceptance, that it actually works. We get some experience, become enlivened and enlightened, and then by such enlivenment and enlightenment, we continue on with the process, and therefore gradually we're able to fix the mind upon Krishna more consistently and intently, enthusiastically. But that's material greediness. This is kind of religious bhakti. Or the animus of bhakti. That's simply mixed with service. So that's sakha kama yoga. Or sakha. Or it could be sakha kama yoga. It could just be karma kandi. But generally, trying to enjoy spiritual life, that's sakha kama yoga. So that's something that we get rid of if we actually want to enjoy spiritual life. to mix in, you know, the desire for the different anarthas that are mentioned, siddhachara, kīrahimsa, the puja, patishta, lava, there's one more, kutinati. So those are some of the major anarthas to get rid of. Plus there's anartha to want security, or to want to become free from distress, or want liberation. So there's so many different types of sakadhana yoga. So these are things that we have to get rid of through knowledge, knowing that it will keep us on the material platform. And as long as we're on the material platform, we have to suffer the threefold miseries. Along with birth, death, old age, and disease. Krishna may or may not fulfill our desire, but if we, in any case, we'll have to suffer in the material world. There's such so-called enjoyment is actually just part of the illusory energy. So the real book three is Tatra Loya Mulyam Ekalam Janakam Kana.